I enjoyed the moving. The keeping company with a mobile subculture satisfied my wanderlust, which from this perspective is an asp of my true chur, as one whose home was elsewhere. This deep restlessness and urge to get up, abandon whatever I was doing, has plagued me all my life, making it very difficult for me to sustain effort or really enjoy life. 32, 316, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. I feel that the issue of home is one that easily brings up our deepest fears and lowest feelings. We can genuinely feel suicidal as we find we have no place to deposit our little parcels of possessions, or in some cases, our huge and vast number of them. And it is such an angelic relief when we do find those empty rooms to make our own. Those of you who point out that it is written in your holy works that the teacher known to you as Jesus stated that birds of the air had their nest, but that the Son of Man had nowhere to put his head. This was the simple truth. This entity did not operate from a home base of any kind, but rather was peripatetic and walked to different places to learn and to teach and to inspire and to fulfill that purpose for which he accepted incarnation in third density. 33 A home is not essential for living on earth. As wanderers, we sense that very deeply, and some of us become pilgrims, trying in various ways to express our feeling that we are here as spiritual beings on a quest rather than as those who put down roots, amass possessions, and save for our old age. This is a valid path for some few hardy souls, but it requires an immense amount of faith to cast oneself upon the waters, trusting that the next meal, the next sleep, will have a place to exist. Rather, most of us are in the position of needing to house ourselves and live our lives in one place. Further, there is a deep need in us to find an anchorage that has the combination of physical and spiritual security and safety for which we yearn. Each of you is as a starry messenger that has become tangled in flesh. There is that portion of yourself that is eternal and infinite. That eternal and infinite being is steeped in unknowing, truly a mystery of mysteries. Each entity is as deep a mystery as the mystery of the Creator, for each, truly, is one face of the Creator. And in each manifested illusion, each entity is the face of the Creator and each face shall be unique. But to all these sparks of love sent forth upon the winds of free will there is given the knowledge of home and the desire to be moving in the dire iron that home lies. 34 So the search for home is a spiritual search. Although people never run ads for homes stating their spiritual qualities, we look for intensity, passion and dedication in our lives and, due to the fact that it is very, very much a secular culture in which you live, this feeling of coming home to one's true family is often missing. And people wander the earth like Noah's beasts, two by two, with the lonely ones slipping through the cracks in reality. 35, 317, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Jim McCarty would not style himself as one who was falling through the cracks, but certainly when he set out to build his own log cabin on very rural knobland in Kentucky, he was all alone. He had bought his land, sell-ed the trees he wanted for his cabin and cut those logs before he arrived to begin building, but he had no well, no cut meadow and no help to cushion his entry into self-sufficient living. He writes, I had gotten the cabin enough completed that I moved in on May 7, 1974, and immediately felt great terror and anxiety, sensing all the work that lay ahead. I kept a journal of my first months there and immediately began a chart of my feelings about each day, rating each day with a number. Minus 10 meant that I was leaving the next day. Plus 10 meant that I was in heaven. Zero meant I could take it or leave it. It took me 35 days to get into positive numbers. At first I went to town almost every day, and then as time went on, I went out less and less. My attitude about myself, the land and life in general took a change and I began to see myself in paradise, in the beauty of the woods, living a simple lifestyle, and completely in solitude. 36 Jim and his evolving home had to come into relationship with each other. As his fears flew away and he accommodated himself to his tasks and situation, he became able to give himself a home. Since so many of us are by ourselves, it is important that we are able to see that we create our homes within ourselves. Jim's account of his beginning estrangement in a new place is very evocative to me of the feelings I have had, moving from an apartment in one town to an apartment elsewhere. It is a challenge. Where is the best grocery for us? A good duo? A place to worship, to go to the library, to get work done on the car? Will we meet new friends to fill the hole that moving from our old friends and old home has caused? It takes a while to slay the various dragons and to feel that we can cope in a new place. I think the least well-defended I ever was in terms of making a home was in 1967, when I moved to Canada, and 1968, when I moved back to Louisville. My first husband had followed his lover to Vancouver in the fall of 1967, and I began making arrangements to move to Boston, where I had landed a job at the Boston Public Library as a children's librarian. Then I received a series of calls from him. He expressed his need for me, although he was unwilling to give up his lover. I reviewed my marriage contract, it had no small print, and so I decided that, as masochistic as it might seem to others, it was a matter of my keeping my wedding promise to go to Canada and support him. I resigned my job in Boston and headed north on faith alone. Down to $4, I was greatly relieved to land a good university job. We found housing we could afford, though to some it might have. 318, Chapter 10, Societal Issues Seemed Rough, and gradually purchased a bed and a place to sit. The things we take for granted when we already have them. While it was vastly uncomfortable to be living so near the edge for a while, we made it past the crises of getting settled in, although because of my husband's erratic hopes and desires, we did continue to have an emotionally challenging and upsetting time during our stay on Burnaby Mountain. My husband kept setting off for job interviews in towns thousands of miles away, only to drive the distance, get parked in the parking lot of the company, and decide the vibrations were not right for him. This went on each time I managed to save up a few $100s, so we never had any money at all except what we absolutely needed for food. As was often the case in my first marriage, I picked up extra money feeding men who did not cook. We always had enough one way or another. Finally, he decided that he really hated marriage enough to ask for a divorce, which was a great relief to me. I was happy to grant his request, feeling that he was solving the heart of his difficulty in rigging marriage itself. I had just landed a wonderful job, as director of the professional library for the Teachers Association of British Columbia, which paid enough that I could easily send him enough money to live on as well as support myself, and I offered to do that, but he was adamant that I return to Louisville for the divorce, where my family lived. He felt guilty about leaving me, and it soothed his emotions to feel that I would be near the support of family. I begged him to let me stay in Vancouver, where I had indeed made a good home, but he would not, could not, listen, so we drove to Louisville in the teeth of a late March blizzard in 1968. It was time to start over, again, and his mother had found a studio apartment for me. I again found a bed and a chair, the basics. Because I had the chance to take my old job back at the private school where I had previously been librarian, I was quickly placed in a much more secure emotional position. I ended up very much enjoying my time alone in that little apartment, which I left only to make a home with Don Elkins that November. The point here is that an earthly home is just a house until we fill it with our presence. Our home only seems to be a place in the physical illusion. It only seems to consist of walls and furniture. It is only the essence of ourselves, allowed to cull and to fill the atmosphere of a place. We invest a house and make it a home. Bricks and mortar remain building materials. Emotional security, that feeling of being home, is all about our trusting ourselves and letting ourselves fill a space. For some people, a small space is much more what they need than a big old place. When I was starting over, that studio apartment was all the space I felt able to fill. As I gained in, 319, Chapter 10, Societal Issues Strength after the beating of that marriage, I felt more and more capable of energizing more space and enlarging my tents. These days, Jim and I have a big old bungalow and a magic kingdom consisting of his rock gardens and planting beds, which fill our modest lot to bursting with beauty and color all year. There is plenty of essence these days, for us. We know how fortunate we are and do not take it for granted. If the future has straitened circumstances in store for us, we will enjoy them as well. What difference does it really make whether we use kerosene lamps or Elric, flush toilets or outhouses, wood stoves or gas, compared to being able to live in peace, love our surroundings, and fill them, however humble they are, with our love and energy? The deeper truth about the concept of home is that our true home, our deeper home, is spiritual in nature. It may not be prickle to the world's eye to think in this way, but it is spiritually very prickle. There are other ways in which that powerful treasure of time may be better spent, but none is quite as powerful as the decision to set aside the time and the place to say, first I will be here. First I will provide for my heart to touch its true home, to breath the air of things holy and innocent of the dirt of living. 37. If we can remove ourselves from the concept of home as walls and furniture, we can begin to see into the concept from a metaphysical point of view, which to me is very helpful in reorienting our minds so that wherever we are is a place we can invest with hominess. Those of you who suggest that as we come fully into the present moment, we are coming home, often the bounty of deepened desire and that feeling of centeredness that spiritual ambition hopes for is contained not by adding levities or doing things differently in some way that is measurable physically but, rather, in moving fully into the present moment and becoming able to take the bounty of that moment as it passes. For each moment is itself, whole and perf. When one is in the moment, one is not in time. When one becomes even a bit aware of the timeless asp of the moment, there is an almost automatic resonance and a feeling of coming home. 38 again, I do not mean to suggest that most of us can do without some shelter and a place to lay our heads. But knowing where the homeness comes from, knowing that the anchorage is inside us and in the way we think about ourselves, helps us to create a real home out of any environment in which we find ourselves. We may see our home as being the infinite creator. 320, chapter 10, societal issues. When this feeling of being so loved and so precious has sunk in and taken root, in a subtle and ever-changing way the life begins to be transformed because the self finally accepts the creator's opinion of self and can begin to see by faith alone that whatever is upon the surface, the self is the creator's own from its very origins upwards. This is the native land. This is the home. This is the safety of each, not the power, security or any manifested part of how the world thinks about itself, but, rather, the safety and security lie in remembering whose child you truly are, whose service you truly wish to join, whose love you truly wish to channel through yourself and into the world. 39. What this handbook has most centrally to offer is a way to shift the thinking from the outer appearances and forms of things to their inner and spiritual essences. In this sense, while our life and our home appear to be in time, our true home is eternity. Oh, how you yearn for the light of home, for the rest of eternity, for the peace of infinity, for the simple joy of living in truth, when all about you in this incarnational experience is illusion upon illusion, all of it telling lie after lie after lie. 40 in far, what it comes down to is that the home of the self is the self. The outer home is a shell only, given vitality by the self, allowing that space to fill up with the vibrations of the self so that the place vibrates with our essence. You are home to yourself at all times. 41 In a culture where there is a deification of things, it is very good, it seems to me, to affirm the home of the self to be that place within us which is full of our essence, and our place of power is within that essence. This essence, then, can invest a physical place, and the house or apartment or shack becomes the home. I have been hand to mouth poor, and I may be so again. But wherever I am, I truly believe that not only I but all those around me will perceive whatever place in which I fetch up as a true home. I believe that each wanderer has the ability to create that Eden for himself as well. Let us see our homes as claws for love. Invest them with our dreams and visions, our musings and meditations and hopes. Whether we open our homes to group experiences of a spiritual nature, such as meditation or study groups, or remain solitary and private, this is very appropriate. It is far more important, my friends, that you are together in the light, seeking the light, persistently, steadily, over and over again, making of this sphere which you call your home a place where there does beam light even in darkness than that any word of inspiration or information. 321, Chapter 10, Societal Issues be transmitted. Were never another word to be transmitted through this light center, it is well to know as individuals and as a group that the love led and given to the Creator in such group meetings and each by yourselves is what will make or break your society, shall we say, as a group. The critical mass for achieving fourth density as a group is nearly reached. Therefore, each effort to add light to the planetary consciousness is by far the greatest service you can render at any time. 42 Jim and I have long followed Don's vision of opening our home as a spiritual community or lighthouse, and have found a lot of satisfaction, as well as challenge, in serving as those who seek to add light to the planetary consciousness, by means of the prayerful daily life we live together, and of the opening of our home to those who come to our regular meditation meetings. We will talk in more detail of this later in the handbook, but no discussion of home would be complete without mentioning this aspect. There is tremendous power released when a person or a couple breaks open the personal privacy of their home in order to be of service to others. In a world starving for real spirituality, there is a realness about offering whatever modest gift we might have, as a meditation or study host, that may feel to be missing in the more impersonal institutions of cultural religion and spirituality. It is not that we as individuals have so much to give others. We all have gifts to share, and yet the power of a lighthouse where public meetings are held is not built on our gifts, but on the seeking, thirst and faith of all who come to such a lighthouse, all who share in meditations, all who travel to such a place. The spirit of a spiritual group is enormously powerful, metaphysically speaking, and each senses this. As this instrument has often said, no individual is the reason that a light group such as this offers a magical place, a metaphysical home that works and functions, but rather the faith of all who have come to such a place, the knowledge within those that come that this is a safe place, this is what makes the power of such a light center. 43 May each of us be blessed to find the most satisfying home for ourselves, and may we find the love, acceptance and forgiveness of self that makes this possible. 322, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Children. Many people these days would happily avoid having children in the present incarnation. 202 says, as a child also, I decided that I didn't want to marry and have children. Everyone always told me that I'd change my mind. I knew I wouldn't and I haven't. I am now 43, and unmarried, although I have had relationships, and am with a man now whom I consider a soulmate. 44 For some who eschew children, the issue is time. They do not feel they have the time and attention to spare. For some, the issue is metaphysical. These feel that their purpose here has to do with all of humankind, rather than with creating a nuclear family. For some, there is the feeling that the self is still the child, and is not ready to be an authority figure. Even for some of us who really have wanted children throughout our lives, like myself, there has not come the opportunity to settle into a family nest and raise young ones. If we have the feeling that children are not for us, then I think it is fine to proceed with this in mind. Nowhere is it written that the only way we can be of service in life is by having and raising children. I think it is well to remember that there are no mistakes. It is also well to remember this when we become pregnant and wonder what in heaven's name we have to offer to a child. There are no mistakes. What you do in relationship with your children will affect them in a manner which will eventually result in their growth, their learning and their unity with the Creator, for there is nothing but service that is possible within this or any illusion. Worry not that you make mistakes, for it is the attention which you give your young child in the attempting to be of service to it that is of the most service to it. 45 If you are with child, or considering having children, or if your children are already here and currently driving you crazy in the approved manner, keep remembering that raising children is the least appreciated but the most central single service to others generally available among our experiences. In no other case is there more utter need and helplessness on the part of those whom we serve, and never do we find ourselves more fully challenged to serve well. There is no greater or more sacrificial service than the raising of young souls, attempting to offer to those souls that information which is grist not only for making one's way in the mundane world, but for becoming. 323, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Aware of eternity, becoming aware that so-called human beings have a context into which they fit. 46. Even if we do not have children of our own, we can often lend a helping hand to a child, and it is always a tremendous service. We encourage all souls within the earth plane to focus upon the young ones, for as always it is to those born in innocence and full of expiations that information needs to be most lovingly considered in giving. Whenever there is the opportunity to interact with the children about you, we encourage each in her own way to look into the children's eyes, to make contact with spirit there. For in each of the cases, the entity is an old soul. The entity has much experience. The entity is full of potential. For each co-ion with a young one strengthens and bolsters the child's gifts of faith and will. If kindness comes not so easily to you, then let your kindness be for children. Let the heart open for the young ones, for much teaching shall be given in that manner. 47. It is easy to panic and think, what have I got to teach a child? None of us is as wise as we would like, or as compassionate. And yet, the need is there. The children in our lives look to us with trusting eyes and waiting ears for anything we would care to share with them. If we have a chance to interact, I hope we will go for it. Helping a child is always worthwhile, I think. And if we are in the position of being an expiant or new parent and we feel unequal to the task, here is Mr. Friend's proposed advice to his email companion, Dragonfly, who is now a single mother of college age. All these friends who were have disowned her and are really, really sending her negative vibes, so I got mad, and then stopped. Not only is it their choice, but their ignorance and fears, they can't think on their own without the veils and traps of society blocking them. So I plan to tell her that she had this baby for a reason. It chose her as his mother for some reason, that everyone else is wrong for disowning you. But that is their prerogative. 48. If we do have one or more children, we have had to accept this responsibility of caring for and raising them. We are now in the business of teaching souls. Not just teaching them this and that, but filling in the extensive blanks in a never-ending and rapidly growing pyre of the world that is evolving in our child's mind. At this point on our path of evolution, our planet is supporting only souls who have the possibility of making graduation at this time. This means that every child we can possibly have is an old. 324, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Soul with great potential for spiritual enlightenment and evolution. As Linda Kletcher says, when my 8-year-old was born, she looked at me like she knew everything about me and I felt overcome with love, more than I had experienced as a new mother when my 26-year-old was born. There was an all-knowing look in my second child's eyes that told me, and I felt it immediately, that she was an old, old soul. This occurred again when my son was born. That look of love and wisdom and depth told me I was truly blessed to have these two ancient souls in my care. 49. In addition to all new babies being old souls, there are also many ET type Wundra babies being born, and pioneer babies of the nascent fourth density who have both third density and fourth density elevated physical bodies as well. Those children being born at this time upon your planet include both wanderers who have come to aid in this crossroads in this new beginning and those who have come from other third density harvests to begin their fourth density experience early on. Many of your children have both third and fourth density vehicles of the physical kind elevated. As people feel that their children are more and more remarkable, we remind each that there are many beautiful souls who seek life upon your planet at this crucial time, for all wish to aid in the birthing of the fourth density of your planet, and many have come to help. 50. This is not to say we should allow ourselves to be intimidated by our children. Strong personalities have just as much need to learn their manners and good ideals as their gentler brothers and sisters. It is well to remember, also, that each child is already a unique and highly developed soul when it comes into incarnation. The delightful thought of a baby being a blank slate upon which we can inscribe our own ways is not accurate. Yes, we do have a good deal of opportunity to teach our children by how we and what we say, but we have to deal with the absolute far that each child is a person before we get to her. No two children are alike. Each child moves into life with the personality bias is strongly set. Each parent is aware that it can do nothing more than guide the arrow which has already been made. 51. How do we guide that arrow? That's the question parents ask. Those of you who suggest that one big thing we can do is live well, for we teach by the life we lead in ways that speak louder than words. 325. Chapter 10, Societal Issues. We have found that it is well, in teaching another who seeks your assistance, to first set the pattern of your own behavior in a fashion which exemplifies the basic principles which you wish to share. In this instance we feel that you desire to share in large part the seeking of the one Creator and the serving of that one Creator in all that you see. This shall be the greatest teaching to the young entity. That which he observes in the daily round of the Levites shall teach him far more than words and patterned instruations, though words and instruction are indeed important. 52. Where we place our values, a child will tend to place his values as well, as the parent goes about your culture's rather complex business of creating the means whereby to purchase those things which are necessary within your culture for survival and comfort. The entity may perhaps become overly concerned with those things of the material world, for it is always seemingly difficult to, as you say, make the ends meet. By being concerned with these things, the parent is teaching the child the nature of the need for money, the need for power, the need for self-aggrandizement within the illusion. These lessons are helpful within the framework of the mundane world. However, it is well that the parent also be concerned enough about itself and about its responsibility to that young self which has come into relationship with it to create and maintain a daily, loving, persistent and genuine search for that spiritual truth which cannot be found in the hustle and bustle of the busy world of the marketplace and your televisions. For children, as you call these souls with small experience, learn that which is offered to them, and will learn gladly from the television. We do not say there is anything inimical to a child's growth in this pursuit. We only suggest that if the child does not see the parents engaged in earnest and sincere and persistent spiritual seeking, the child shall be vulnerable to any charismatic entity teaching whatever distortion of the laws of love and service in whatever highly distorted manner. 53. In other words, truly be ourselves. Most of all, we encourage each simply to be themselves. For this teaches more than anything else. Entities who are moving from their core outward, being as true to their feelings and sensings as possible, shall always have a head start in communicating with those called children. For as they are simpler and less devious, so are their ways of seeing, and they shall appreciate an entity who is herself far more than an entity, no matter how exciting, that is a mask rather than the person herself. 54. 326. Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Another huge gift to a child is the present of our sheer presence and our attention. In this day of so many families having a two-job marriage in order to make enough money to support the household, this is an ever harder gift to give, and yet the results are so incredibly generous. The appreciation from a child who is companioned is never-ending. Because my own birth parents were in the middle of many things when my brother Tommy was born, he did not get their attention much at all. They were both working full-time, plus having outside jobs at night and on the weekend as performers and musicians, plus my mother's studies and my father's golf game. In this atmosphere, I was left with both brothers almost all the time. One Saturday morning I awoke early and found two-year-old Tommy staring at the blank TV screen, waiting for it to come on, and I thought I had never seen anything lonelier. So I made a vow to myself that no matter what, Tommy could always come and wake me up on weekend mornings, no matter how early, and I would get him some breakfast and spend time with him. Tom understood me perfectly.